doing some research for your own curiosity, no doubt, but it's nice that you actually dig deep so you can understand the industry just a little bit better. The over 55s retirement village, is it good or is it bad? I mean, you know, there must be some plus and there must be some negatives in you know, going into these homes.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. You never know the questions that are going to be asked of us when people come through the door. And, you know, most of our clients are in that, you know, accumulation or early retirement phase when they arrive. But then, you know, as time goes on, many of them, or, you know, quite a few of them want to look for alternative living arrangements. And recently, I had reason to have a really good look at the over 55s retirement arrangement, which is not aged care per se. It's it's just an alternative living, you know, managed, externally managed.
In the village, so to speak.
That's right, in the village, that's right. And, you know, I went through it in some detail and thought it was actually pretty interesting. The first lit thing is when you pay to, normally speaking, what happens is you have to pay an amount of money to enter these villages, and that money's it's like a deposit. It's just held on trust. It just sits there, but it doesn't actually buy you any land or a building. What it does is give you the right to occupy for a period of time.
Gives you the bed for the night.
Gives you the bed for the night. As long as you, well, it is a legal right to occupy. It's not like a hotel, you know. You are legally able to be there and treat it as your own. And then you have to pay on top of that a more modest weekly amount, which is, you know, basically maintenance management fee. And that goes on, you know, for a period of time. But what was I thought interesting about this was that when it comes to the capital gains part of it, so what this particular village that I looked at, what they did was they took out 0.5% per month up to a maximum of the deposit that you put down in the beginning. They took 0.5% per month up to a maximum of 5 years, 60 months. And so, you know, that ended up, you know, basically 30% of the money that you'd put down ended up going. But, you know, I mean, having said that, it was only $110 a week to, you know, the actual fee of the weekly fee was only $110 a week. So they have to, you know, obviously that wasn't going to cover very much. So they have to make it up some way. And I actually don't think on the face of it that's too bad an arrangement. The thing that got me, and you know, that, in this particular village, it worked out that it was about $520 a week. Once you'd factored everything in, it was about $520 a week to live there with everything provided. And you could order meals on site. That was actually, that was extra, but you know, you did have the facilities of meals on site and a hairdresser and different other things like that.
Rates and electricity and everything.
Yeah, all of that's included. And you know, so I think when it was all considered, I don't feel like it was a rip-off. I think the thing that was difficult to get my head around was that when you sell this thing, if there's any capital gain, only 20% of the capital gain went to you. The other 80 went to the owners of the village. And
really?
You know, and the argument is that uses is used for upkeep of the village as a whole, and also refurbishing the unit when you leave, so that someone else is, you know, more interested in buying it. And, you know, I get that argument. It costs money to do those things. But I think that in this particular case, and they're all a bit different, and this is the issue, you know, when you, for people out there, you know, potential clients, I guess, when they look at these things, you can't just say they're all the same. You know, the fees are different, the arrangements that underlie the way the fees are paid are different. But in this particular one, you really had to think that, you've got to give up the idea that you're owning a property and that there might be capital gains on that. And because of that, then you've got to weigh up, you know, is it better to sell? If I'm fit and healthy, should I stay in my existing house for a while, given that the price of the property might rise, or, you know, if history is any guide, it'll rise. You know, as opposed to giving away most of my capital gain, you know, while you know, once I move out, giving most of my capital gain away to the operators of the village. And you know, I thought that was pretty interesting. That's the mindset change you have to have. It's like, okay, well, I've got the right to live there, but I'm not really participating in any value, you know, wealth enhancement when I go there. That's just a fact of it. I'm just giving that away, and most of it's going to them, not me. You know, on the other hand, you've got your friends around you, and you've got you know, nice. A lot of these villages are pretty nicely set up these days.
Yes.
And, you know, $520 a week probably doesn't sound like a bad deal. So, you know, I think it really, really important just to have a look at how these things work. And the other side of it is how it impacts on Centrelink entitlements. And, you know, people say to me, oh, why are you bothering with Centrelink, you know, stuff? Well, the fact is you can have nearly $900,000 in assets apart from your house and still get Centrelink. And, you know, I would say for most people would agree that $900,000 isn't an amount to be sniffed at.
No.
So you know, Centrelink, if Centrelink for a lot of people, even with a reasonable sum of, you know, reasonable portfolio or sum of money behind them, apart from over and above their house, Centrelink is a consideration. And so, you know, not to forget the other benefits you get through getting part age pension or whatever, you know, the healthcare card and transport concessions and rates concessions and all these things. So, you know, you've also got to factor that in. And, you know, there's some complex calculations that have got to be done to see whether the deposit you pay to the retirement home is going to be considered in the same way as the money invested in your house for the assets test. And you've also got to look at... when you sell your house, the extra amount of money that might come in over and above, you know, like, let's say you sold your house for, I don't know, $800,000 and bought into the village for $400,000, then you've got an extra $500,000 suddenly sitting as an investable asset, and Centrelink is going to count that. So yes, it might wipe you out for the pension. So there's these, you know, these interactions that have to be looked at. I just thought it was really interesting to table it out and to go through it absolutely step by step.
Fantastic. If you're thinking of making the step, have a chat with David French and the team from the Investment Collective. They'll certainly put you in the right direction. David, thanks very much for talking to us this morning.
It's always